Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. We are excited to have you here tonight, guest or regular attendee. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord, why don't you give a little amen? Come on. Come on, somebody. January, we have a few events we're going to be announcing right today. Brother Philip Anthony Robb is ministering to us tonight, AM and this PM service. If you were here this morning, you know that it was a phenomenal service, and if you weren't able to make it, please go back and watch the live stream, because it was a phenomenal, phenomenal move of God. And Brother Robb really ministered to us, and so he'll be doing so again tonight. Very excited for that. And then the 12th, Brother Christopher Uretic will be ministering the AM and PM services. He is our second pastoral candidate, and so that is going to be a wonderful time. Make sure to be there for that. And then the 19th, so it is the third Sunday this month. It is Youth Sunday. Youth Sunday. So,
the house of prayer. A house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Situation that you or I may have walked in here with, there is no situation that is greater than our God. And that may sound like a hype statement or something that is vague, but there has been a thought that's been on my mind where we try to prevent turning to God as being our last resort. Is that God should be your first choice. He shouldn't be your last resort, you know. But there's a reason that God is our last resort. It's because when you try God, you don't try anything else. I've never heard people say, God was my middle resort. And then I went and tried other things. And then I tried, and then that was better, and that's where I stopped. But no, God is our last resort. Because whenever you decide my sicknesses, my depression, my anxiety, my marriage struggles, my finances, when I give it completely to God, there is nothing else I can turn to. There is nothing else I can put my faith in that can give me what God can give me. So tonight, your last resort is here in this house tonight. And it's saying, cast your burdens onto me. And I will give you rest, and I will heal you, and I will deliver, and you will never have to look for another source. Because I am the last resort of everything you will ever need. And so tonight, I encourage you to step forward in faith. And if you have a struggle in your mind, your heart, your body, your spirit, whatever it is, if you know, I just need a little more from God tonight. I just need a little more from God than what I have had in the past, then step forward in faith. And ministers will anoint you with oil and pray with you and for you. And there's going to be a church body that is going to believe, not just in healing, but in your healing. So, Father, I know that you are a healer. I know that you are a deliverer. I know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. And so, God, I pray that you be present and you be that ever-present help in my life tonight. That whatever I walked in here with, I don't leave with it. That whatever struggles I came in here battling, I leave at the altar tonight. And your healing power transforms each and every one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God Almighty.
Church a few weekends ago, and if you know Sister Angela, you know I'm quite fond of her. But we were very privileged to be able to do their Bible study that Sunday morning, and it was a wonderful time. And we were talking about Moses. I believe it was Moses. Goodness gracious, testing my knowledge here. Way too young for that, that's right. A few too many concussions, but still way too young. We were speaking about Moses. And the burning bush is what catches his attention. And the moment he stops to go, as any normal human being would do, you go inspect a burning bush. I mean, you're like, what on earth is going on? And he waits, and he sits there for a moment, and he's curious as to why this burning bush doesn't cease to quit burning. And the bush speaks to him, and it says, remove your sandals, because this is holy ground. Oh man, I've come to tell you today, there's no difference between Sterling Cole Burchnell and Moses. There's no difference between Sister Janita Martinez and Moses. The one critical thing that could separate us and Moses is that Moses listened and he took his shoes off. Oh, if anyone's getting that, this ground here tonight is holy ground. The difference between us and Moses tonight and how we respond to the Spirit of God is if we listen and we take off the sandals. If we listen and we decide to take off the burdens. If we listen and decide to say, I get words tomorrow, but we take that off of our mind and we take that out of our eyes and we say, God, this moment right here, this holy ground right here, this is where I will stand with you. And he can meet you in the still small voice, or he can meet you with cracking thunder in the air. But the difference is up to you. And whether or not you take off your shoes and respond. Tonight, a small form of taking off the shoes and submitting to God and listening to God is tithe and offering. But again, I use this word, I challenge you tonight to maybe tarry a bit longer, to maybe tune the ear to the frequency just a bit more to see what God has entirely for you here tonight. What does God have for you here tonight that you can get, but it's entirely up to you? Jesus, I thank you, God, for this service that we have tonight. I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to enter into your house tonight, God, and to claim your name in victory and in defeat, God. To claim your name on the mountaintops and in the valleys. Jesus, we ask that your will would be done in this service tonight and in our lives and in our finances, in our relationship, in our job, in our everything that is underneath this sun. In your great name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I won't be discouraged. Even when I'm discouraged. Soul of hope you've done before. I won't be distracted, even in the distraction. I will place the one who's greater than the storm. Said I will trust the one who's greater than the storm. This same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. Even in my darkest moments, this will be the truth I'm holding. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today.
Yes, you are God.
darkest moment. This will be the truth I'm holding. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. I don't need another reason. I don't need more convincing. The same God who made a way is the same God who's here today. Even in my darkest moments, this will be the truth.
God who made a way is the same God who's here.
Before we move forward in this service, I'm not usually bossy, but if every person could just lift up their hands and where you are with your hands, take note of where they are and think, can they get higher toward heaven? Were my hands lifted as high as they can go, or did I leave a little bit? I don't want to get to the end and realize that I was just inches away from everything that God had in store for me. That I was just inches away, that I was just one service away, that I was just this close, but I didn't quite get everything that God had in store for me. You could put your hands down. Tonight, you have the opportunity, you have the chance, you have the privilege to have one more service, one more chance to take in the Word of God and say, how much can I take hold of this? How much can I get with the preacher? How much can I amen? How much can I grab hold of so I can go into my Monday and face whatever hell I have to go into, if it's at your work, if it is at school, if it's in your home, tonight is your chance to get a hold of heaven tonight and to lead us into that. Brother Anthony Robb, who did a phenomenal job this morning and I know has a word tonight. Let's get with the man of God and let's receive what he has in store for us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Rhodes. Jesus. Who put this set list together tonight? Phenomenal. I'm going to tell you why. Because one, prayer is very important to me. As I said this morning, two, all this evening, in between service in my head, I was singing, "We Are Standing on Holy Ground." And I was going to, you know, go into it before I started preaching. And God said, "I got it taken care of. She's got it." But I began to cry over there on the altar when they were singing that the veil is torn and the doors swing wide. See, the reason why is because all my life, and I'm not going to be long, but all my life I've, I guess there's a song that says he saw the best in me when everyone else around saw the worst in me. And I don't say that last part. What I usually say is, "God, thank you for seeing the best in me even when I could only see the worst in me." And as they were singing that song, I saw myself standing outside of the veil, knowing I can never go in there. I'll never be able to walk through that veil. I'll never be accepted in there. God would kick me out of his presence because of the person that I used to be and the things that I have done. But then God showed me, no, I tore that veil. And I made it available for each and every person in this room who may not feel worthy, who may have done some things in your life that other people know about or only you know about. But the veil is torn. And Jesus is standing there, arms wide open, big enough for everybody in this room, big enough for every person in the city of Paris, just waiting for them to see, "I have torn the veil and you can step inside." Can we lift our hands for just a moment? Oh God, thank you for tearing that veil. Thank you for giving the opportunity for this guy right here. Paul called himself the chief sinner. God, thank you for making it available to me. I've probably done the worst in this room. I've probably hurt you the most. I have tarnished your blood. I have made your sacrifice in vain. I have disrespected you. I've dishonored you, God. Yet you still said, "Come, because this veil is torn for you. And if nobody else wants to walk through it, Anthony Robb, you can. And I love you." If anybody in this room has that same testimony, and you know that there was a time where you didn't understand, and you didn't feel it, but Jesus came and wrapped you in his arms and reminded you that you are his and that you are in his hand, and that veil was torn for you to walk through. God, thank you. Thank you for your wonderful presence that we feel in this room. Jesus. Even the last song goes exactly with my message tonight. And I'm so thankful for the confirmation of God. This morning I had said, you know, to the lady that was in the blue jacket and the blonde, that message was for her specifically and everybody else who's ready to hear it. And I promise y'all, I'm not just doing that because I'm here. I typically don't do something like that unless God lays it on my heart. I may have done it three other times. This morning was the fourth. And I'm going to be honest with you, tonight it's probably going to be the fifth. Because if you want to see the screenshot, you can. But I took a screenshot on my phone to make sure that if anyone wanted to test me and say, "Oh, brother, you just wrote that whenever you got in here." No, I God laid it on my heart, and I started writing things immediately because, like I said, I'm 32 now, and sometimes things slip my mind. I'm at that age. But I wrote on here just what God told me. Plaid shirt and jeans. Tonight is for you. My brother right here, tonight is for you. Brother Price, tonight is for you. Everyone in this room, tonight is for you. Would you turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 23? I'm going to read the whole chapter, quote the whole chapter, as some of us may be able to do. But again, I thank God. Thank God for tearing that veil and allowing me the opportunity to be here with you this evening. We give honor to Pastor and Sister Meyer for the wonderful work that they have done, the foundation that they have laid for this church, this worship and this praise that's in this place. Glory goes to God first of all. But if it wasn't for a man of God and a woman of God who fasted, prayed, travailed for each soul in this room, all this wouldn't be here. So we give honor to them, and again to the advisory board and this church for coming back tonight. Came this morning, guess we did all right. Some of y'all weathered the cold, and I thank y'all for that. Also, my pastor, I give him honor. I spoke with him earlier today. He just said he's praying for me and for us to continue on in Christ. And my wife just stepped out with my son. We don't have Sunday night service in Beaumont, so he's like, what in the world? Why am I not running around tearing up the house, playing with pots and pans? Not the 50 million Levin toys that he got for Christmas and his birthday, but the pots and the pans that are in our cupboard. That's all he plays with, the remote. Makes no sense. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Everyone say, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This evening, I want to preach to you on the simple title, For His Name's Sake. For His Name's Sake. Brother Rhodes, do you mind praying over the word tonight? Why don't you clap your hands as you are seated tonight? Jesus' name. I promise I'm not wore out. It was just a very somber moment. And man, God is great. God is good. Amen. Well, I want to start this off by saying that the term city slicker applies to me to the highest degree. I am the slickest of all city slickers that ever existed. I was telling my brothers that took me out to lunch today, I went fishing one time. Well, I've been fishing a bunch of times. But my very first time fishing, we caught about 9 sand bass and about 11 catfish. And I went home with all sorts of fillets. I was like, yeah, I'm a fisherman now. Can I tell you that I've been fishing at least 10 times since then? And I barely even caught a twig. I barely even got the dirt at the bottom of nothing. I have caught absolutely nothing. Hunting. I went hunting one time with somebody. We didn't even see a bird come and eat the corn. And I was like, all right, obviously, I am not a hunter. My pastor has a small little ranch on his property. And again, I'm from Garland, Texas, a little suburb outside of Dallas, Texas. I have never been so close to a cow in my life. I've never touched a cow. I was walking next to chickens. I've only eaten chicken, okay? There's ducks. I've seen them fly and in ponds. He even had peacocks, and I didn't even know that was legal for people to own. Hopefully it is, and I didn't just get him in trouble. We can scratch that out the live stream. All right, he had rabbits, and he had a horse. The closest thing I've ever been to a horse are those little pony rides at the fair where they got them all chained up, and you just ride on them and go around them. And so I'm around all this livestock out in southeast Texas, only by the hand and direction of God. Because if he would have let me pick, I would be somewhere with skyscrapers and not tall oak trees or whatever trees they got out there. They have trees in place of skyscrapers. I'm used to skyscrapers, tall buildings, traffic everywhere. No, they got trees, grass, and horses and cows all over the place. And it is just crazy to me. And so I say all that to say that I have no clue when it comes. Well, I've gained a little bit of knowledge when it comes to livestock and things of that nature. I have a small little garden in my backyard. It is my ghetto garden, as I call it. It's a bunch of Whataburger and Sonic styrofoam cups that I put some dirt in, and I planted some stuff. And I got so excited when I started planting these things that I didn't label anything. And so everything that's sprouting up right now, I'm just playing the guessing game of what's going to be. I got some tomatoes. It's not even tomato season, so I heard, so I can't do nothing with those. I got a couple of cayenne peppers. I didn't know they were cayenne peppers, but I took one off, and I took a bite out of it, and I found out that it was a cayenne pepper. So I all that stuff I have no knowledge of. But as I was reading Psalm 23, I had to, God quickened me to do a deeper study into what David was talking about as far as being the Lord being his shepherd. And so I dove into the study of sheep, and I found that sheep are notorious creatures of habit. If left to themselves, they will follow the same trails until they become ruts, graze the same hills until they turn to desert waste, and pollute their own ground until it is corrupt with disease and parasites. Does that sound familiar to anybody? They will follow the same trails, do the same old thing that they've always done until they become ruts and untravelable, if that's even a word. They graze the same hills until they turn to desert waste, meaning they feed off of the same thing that they kept feeding themselves over and over and over and over again until there is nothing left, and they are left hungry and starving for more, even though they thought that they were eating forever. And they pollute their own ground until it is corrupt with disease and parasites. They stay in the same place, never move forward, never have any progression in their lives until they get diseases and parasites. Many of the world's finest sheep ranges have been ruined beyond repair by overgrazing, poor management, and indifferent or ignorant sheep owners. Too many sheep over too many years under poor management have brought nothing but poverty and disaster in the wake. No other class of livestock requires more careful handling, more detailed direction than sheep. David must have known this through his own experience in being a shepherd. He knew that if his flock was going to make it and his reputation wasn't going to be ruined, that the sheep had to constantly be under his control and guidance. So when David talks about a lion came and tried to eat his sheep and he killed the lion when he was talking to Goliath, and when a bear came and he killed the bear when he was telling this to Goliath, the reason why he did this is not just to protect his sheep, but because his reputation was on the line. If he was going to be known as a good shepherd, if he was going to be known as someone that could take care of the sheep, then he had to protect them. He couldn't let that lion just take one. He couldn't let that bear even have one little lamb. But he said, no, I will kill every lion. I will kill every bear that tries to attack my sheep. Can I tell somebody in this place this morning, or this evening rather, that God is our shepherd and he cares about each and every one of his sheep, and he will not allow a single one of you to be devoured by a lion, by a bear, by a coyote, by anything that is trying to steal from his flock, because his reputation is on the line. His reputation as a shepherd, as God our Father, our provider, our protector, is on the line. In his book, A Shepherd's Guide to Psalm 23, Philip Keller tells a story about the first sheep farm that he purchased. He says, the first sheep farm I ever had as a young man was a piece of derelict land that had been, as he quotes, sheeped to death. An absentee owner had rented the place to a tenant. The latter simply loaded the ranch with sheep, then let them pretty much to their own ways. So this guy bought some land, got his sheep there, let them go in the land, and just left them alone and left them there. The result was utter desolation. Fields became so overgrazed and impoverished, they grew little but poverty grass. Little sheep trails had deteriorated into great gullies. Erosion on the slope was rampant, and the whole place was ravaged almost beyond repair. All of this happened simply because the sheep, instead of being managed and handled with intelligent care, had been left to struggle for themselves, left to go their own way, left to the whims of their own destructive habits. The consequence of such indifference is that the sheep gnaw the grass to the very ground until even the roots are damaged. Because of the behavior of sheep and their preference for certain favored spots, these well-worn areas became quickly infested with parasites of all kinds. In a short time, a whole flock can thus become infected with worms, nematodes, and scab, and the final upshot is that both land and owner are ruined, while the sheep become thin, wasted, and sickly, all because they were left alone without care, without guidance, without someone looking after them. The gate was opened, they walked into the field, the gate was closed behind them, and the shepherd just simply left them to their own ways. Church, can I tell you tonight that the greatest single safeguard which a shepherd has in handling his flock is to keep them on the move. And God wants us to move on with him. This year, God is trying to tell his church that it is time for you to get out of those same gullies. It's time for you to stop eating on the same grass. It's time for you to get your feet off of the ground and begin to move forward with him. Because if you stay where you're at, you're always going to get what you've always gotten. If you stay feasting on the same loaves of bread, the daily bread, if you stay feasting on the things that you have all this time, instead of getting a fresh bread, instead of getting a fresh outpouring, instead of seeking after a fresh anointing, then it will lead to your destruction. So God wants you to be on the move. And it's not just for him, but it's for the people around you. The old song says, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Why are we letting our light shine? So this city will know, so this community will know that the Lord is our shepherd and that he is looking out for us. And if we don't let that light shine, if we don't get on the move, if we stay where we're at, then we will suffer and die spiritually. We will suffer and die emotionally and mentally. We have to get on the move with God as he is leading us, as the shepherd would, as a good shepherd would, take his flock and move them around. Let them eat here for a little bit. And then when that's done, lead them over here for a little bit. That is what our God is trying to do. I would imagine that the sheep described in Keller's statements felt like the fields they kept grazing on and the spots that they favored were no harm. I'm living a good life right here, Mr. Shepherd. This grass that I'm eating is pretty good right here, Mr. Shepherd. This spot where I like to sleep, where I like to drink my water, where I like to stay at, Mr. Shepherd, it's all good right here. Please, Mr. Shepherd, don't move me out of this spot because I've gotten so comfortable. I've gotten so not content, but I've gotten so complacent where I am at. So, Mr. Shepherd, if you could, just leave me where I am. But I'm sorry to tell somebody in this place tonight that the Lord is your shepherd. And as long as he is your shepherd, you're not going to be in your comfort zone for too much longer. Or at least if you try to stay there, you're going to meet a lot of resistance. You're going to have a lot of fight on your hand because he is trying to shake up your world. He's trying to get you to realize that you can't stay put, that you have to constantly be on the move, because if not, you will be impoverished, you will die where you are at, and you will not be able to move forward. But somebody in this place tonight needs to know that the Lord is the good shepherd, and he cares for his sheep. He cares for this church. He cares for each and every person sitting on the pew and each and every person that's going to walk through those doors in the future, because he is the shepherd and he wants us to move and he is looking out for us. I'm sure that these sheep were so consumed and so blinded by their own personal preferences and the way that they thought their lives should go that they had no idea that they were ruining the land and allowing parasites into their lives that ultimately would lead to their destruction. They thought, where's all the young, where's the youth group at? Raise your hand. Yeah, they thought, youth group, that them friends that you have, that you shouldn't be having, that I'm sure Pastor Rose, Youth Pastor Rose, has been warning you about. They thought that those people that they kept surrounding themselves with, they're no harm, they're good people, they don't believe in God. They may do a little this and a little that, but they're not criminals. But they thought that they could be around them. They thought that they could stay where they were at instead of moving forward with God. And then parasites began to crawl on them, and scab and nematodes and all these crazy things began to happen to these sheep. Why? Because they stayed where they were at because they were comfortable and they were at peace. And they thought that these people that they surrounded themselves with were the right people, just because they get you, just because they make you happy, just because they understand you. But can I tell you something? Nobody understands each and every one of you better than the shepherd. The word says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your friends at school aren't your creator. The people that you hang around aren't your creator. The Lord is your creator. The Lord is your shepherd. And he is trying to get you to understand that the things that you are surrounding yourself with, you know what they are. Come on, I'm 32, so what? That's 16 years ago. I was right where y'all are at. Seems like a long time. But I was right where you're at. And you know, we don't have to, it doesn't have to take no deep searching. God, show me the people that you know. Show me the things that you want me to stop, you know. Come on, God's sitting there like, bruh, you know. You don't have to pray about it anymore. Go ahead and delete the numbers. Go ahead and remove those songs. Go ahead and cut them people out and watch what he does for you. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. In my studies, I've come to find that God's people are not described as sheep because we are docile or weak-minded. No, it is because there are so many parallels between us and the animal. Because if we are left to our own ways, we will destroy ourselves and others around us. Proverbs 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16, 25, one of the very few times that a scripture is quoted word for word in the Bible. These scriptures have the same exact words. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, this clearly tells me that it is more than possible. In fact, it is highly probable that when we decide to do this our own way and carve out our own path, as this world so strongly encourages us to do, that the end result will not be good. But I am so glad to know that I serve the God of the beginning and the end, the one who knows what is best for me. His ways are higher than my ways, and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I could ask or think. His plans are not to harm me, but to help me prosper. And we have to understand in this place tonight that if he knew what he was doing when he manifested himself in the flesh and died a sinner's painful death on the cross and tore that veil for us, then he knows what he's doing on whatever path that he has you on right now. You have to get the mindset in this place, church, that of the Father, and say that it's not my will, but your will be done. Not my kingdom, but your kingdom come. We have to seek the kingdom first and righteousness, and everything else that we could desire will follow after it. But we have to follow after God. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Lead me, Lord, and I will go. Somebody clap their hands in this place tonight. See, that song is often sang at ministry convocation services, right? Whenever they're trying to call you to the ministry, call you to foreign missions or something. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, and I will answer. Lead me, Lord, and I will go. Right, they sing that every time someone's getting called into the ministry. But can I tell you something tonight, church, that song isn't just for people being called into the ministry. That song is for everyone that is being called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Basically saying that, Lord, I'm done doing this thing my way, and now I'm going to follow you. I'm done having my own plans, God, and I'm giving my plans to you. Why? Because, Lord, your ways are better. Your thoughts are greater, and what you have in store for me is so much better than what I could have even planned for myself. Why? Because he is the great shepherd. He is the one that is leading us, and he is the one that will help us in this place. Coupled with this concept of management, there is also the shepherd's intimate knowledge of his pastures. He has been all over the ground again and again. He knows its every advantage and every drawback. He knows where his flock will thrive. He is aware of where the feed is poor, so he acts accordingly. Basically saying, a shepherd will not lead his people or lead his sheep to a land that he has not scoped out. A shepherd will not lead you to somewhere that he doesn't know where you're going. You're not blindly following somebody blindly, but no, the shepherd has already looked at the land before he even purchased it, before he even walked you down that path. He knows where every good feeding spot is. He knows where every bad feeding spot is. He knows where the water is flowing and it's not just sitting there for parasites to build up in. He knows where you can be attacked from. He sees that that from that mountain, coyotes can come. And from that valley, wolves can come. So I'm going to build a fence there. I'm going to build a protection. I'm going to put a covering, a hedge over them so that they do not have to be attacked by the enemy. The shepherd maps out and scopes out everywhere where you are planning or where rather he has you to go. And I think in this place tonight that we are too quick to forget that God knows what he's doing. Do I have any elders in this house tonight that can say, God knows what he's doing? You've lived it for this long. You've been faithful to him for this long. To tell somebody that I may not know, I may not understand, but God knows. See, in Exodus chapter 23, before the children of Israel were about to enter the promised land, God tells them, he says, I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before thee. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit their land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Church, tonight, the path that God is leading you down has already been scoped out. It's already been mapped out, and it's already been cleared out for you to go through. David said, even if I walk, or rather, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Somebody needs to be reminded that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if God is with me, if God be for us, who in the world can be against us? I need someone to understand that we are not in the hands of a careless shepherd. He is literally leading us down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Why in the world would God be out to harm you? Why in the world are you fearful of what God is trying to do in your life, of where God is trying to lead you? Do you not realize that his reputation is on the line, and that if God was going to lead you to some destruction, then the God of the Bible that I read, it would not be the God that I serve. But I'm so thankful to know that every time I followed after his steps, and even sometimes he had to pick me up and carry me along the way, that he had never left me, he had never forsaken me, and the path that he has put me on has been the right path. Even when I thought I had a great plan, even when I had it all figured out, I had it down to a T, God said, no, you're going to take that plan and you're going to throw it in the garbage and just follow me. Because it's about time that somebody in this place tonight understands that the Lord is your shepherd. And as long as you allow him to be your shepherd, then he is leading you down the path of righteousness. Not just so you can be blessed, not just so you can have favor, not just so you can have healing and strength and power, but for his name's sake. He is not out to put his reputation on the line. Do I have any business owners in here? You know that if you're going to do some work, that your name is attached to that work that you're doing. So you want it to be perfect. You're not going to just intentionally cut a customer short. Why? Because that's going to make your business look bad. You're not going to intentionally do something to mess up the work that you have done. Why? Because your reputation will be ruined. And God is not in the business of ruining his reputation. He is too perfect. He is too great. He is almighty. He is omnipotent, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi, my banner of victory. Jehovah Shiloh, my prince of peace. Jehovah Sinai, the righteous one. Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Jehovah Shiloh, my prince of peace. And if he leads you down any path that does not meet those needs, then he is not who you think he is. But God is exactly who he says that he is. The word says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he brought you through the first time, guess what? He's going to bring you through today. And if he brings you through today, he's going to provide for you tomorrow. Why? Because he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd loves his sheep. And in this place right now, we've got some people that have been struggling on this path that God has gotten you on, that you don't understand what's going on. And it feels like you're walking in the valley of the shadow of death, but the Lord is still leading you. Why? Because his name is on the line, and it is for his name's sake. Jesus asks, he says, what man would give his son a stone when they ask for bread? Or who would give them a serpent if they ask for a fish? If an earthly father knows how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Oh, I'm so thankful that my Father knows how to give me good things. And not just the things that I want, but the things that I need. Where every single time I have prayed to God, I've probably gotten exactly what I've prayed for 2.7 times out of the times that I have prayed. And he gives me something completely different. Something I was like, God, where in the world did this even come from? It's like me planting those plants. I don't know what I'm planting, but I got something. I didn't ask for it, but I got it. And so here it is. And that's exactly what God is doing in our lives. And it doesn't make any sense, but that's okay, because he is way above our comprehension and our understanding. But what we have to know in this place tonight is that he is leading us down paths of righteousness. He is leading us down the good path. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he is with you. He is for you. He is beside you. There was a point in the book of Exodus where God got tired of the Israelites complaining. Oh, man, we had better food in Egypt. We may have been slaves, but we lived better in Egypt. Moses got us out here in this desert, and we ain't even got no good water to drink. Moses got us out here in this desert. Now we have to eat this manna stuff that keeps falling from the ground, and then it spoils after a day. Moses got us out here. It's raining quail. Didn't even know it could rain quail, but it's raining quail, and Moses got us out here eating this good old quail. I've had quail once in my life. I'll agree with the Israelites on that one. I'm not a big quail fan. But they're complaining. God, we had it so much better in Egypt. Why are they complaining? Because where they're at the moment seems rough and seems hard. Can I tell y'all, I would never, and I'm not one of these people, I'm sorry if this messes you up, Brother Rose, but I'm not one of these people that when I was living on my backslid in my teenage years, I'm not one of these people that have this just awful story to tell. I can be honest with you, I had fun. It was a good time. I'm just be straight up with you. But I would never go back to that. Because unbeknownst to me, I was in bondage. Unbeknownst to me, I was a slave to my own thinking. I was a slave to sin. I couldn't live my life without sinning, and I thought that I was having a great life. See, when Israel was in Egypt, all they could do was cry out and complain, God, save us, Lord. Where is our deliverer? Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where are you? And now that they've been delivered, now that God has shown them that he destroys the whole Pharaoh's army and crushes them under the Red Sea and does all these great and marvelous things while they're in the wilderness, now they have the nerve to complain. And so you know what God says? Moses, I am tired of these Israelites. I'm about to wipe them all out. I am done with them, and I'm going to start over with the new people. Maybe I'll get one of them Hittites or those Jebusites, and they can be one of my people, because these Israelites, they ain't listening to me. And I'm so sick and tired of all this garbage that they're spewing out of their mouths after I keep providing for them over and over and over and over again. And you know what Moses does? He says, whoa, 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 God. Hold on. One moment, God. Now listen, I understand. Now this is the BRV version, the Brother Rob version of translation of the Bible. I'm taking out all those thous and shouts and thus saith and therefore and herefore and hereunto's. But Moses basically says, God, hold on. I understand, and you are God. You are great. You are mighty. Love you. You are perfect. But if you kill all the Israelites off now, after you have brought them out of Egypt, then all the nations around will say, what kind of God brings his people out of bondage just to destroy them in the wilderness? So you can do what you want, God. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but you didn't call them out of this bondage that they were in just to destroy them here in the wilderness. And you know what God does? Moses, you're right. My reputation is on the line. And I can't do that to these people. And as I was reading that, help me, God, I began to get so thankful for my pastor. Because I know that there were times when God was ready to destroy me. When God was ready to end my ministry, or rather the ministry that he allows me to serve in. It's not mine, it's his. I'm just a vessel. There were times where God wanted to take it all from me because of this idiot right here. But I had a pastor in my life that said, God, give him one more chance. God, your reputation is on the line. You didn't save Brother Rob from the darkness and the wickedness that he used to be in just to destroy him now. You didn't call him all the way from Garland, Texas to go to school in the middle of East Texas of Lufkin and then to come out here to Southeast Texas just to destroy him. No, God. You brought him here because he has a purpose and he has a and you have a plan for his life. And that purpose and that plan for me is to be here tonight to tell you all that the Lord is your shepherd and he is looking out for you and he has a perfect plan for you, but you've just got to keep following him. You've just got to understand that he has perfect and good things in store for you. Can I help somebody that maybe 2024 felt like you were just in the valley of the shadow of death and that no one was there, but the whole time the Lord was out in front of you saying, come on, I know it's scary. Come on, I know you don't understand. Come on, I know all that you see is darkness, but I am leading you down a path of righteousness. I'm leading you down a path of goodness. I'm leading you down a path to a destination that you have never even dreamed of or imagined. But you have to trust in me. You have to trust in the Lord. One of the most common reasons for people not believing in God is that they like to say, well, if God is real, then why does he allow death? Why does he allow crime? Why does he allow murder? Why does he allow sin? Why does he allow us to lose loved ones? Why does he allow sickness to enter into our bodies? However, when rules based off scripture and guidelines and standards are set, then the argument is then changed to living for God is too controlling and it's unbearable. Wow. But that is why we serve a God who is a God of order and a free will. If there were no order, we would destroy ourselves. And if there was no free will, we would serve God and live for God out of force and not out of love. Meaning if God didn't give us the opportunity to choose to follow him as our shepherd, we'd just be following him and it wouldn't mean nothing. Matter of fact, most 9 times out of 10, when people backslide, when people give up on God, it's because they've just been following and never developed a real relationship with their shepherd. They've just been doing what they've been told. And while obedience is better than sacrifice, there has to be some type of relationship with that obedience, or else you're just going to be doing something until you don't want to do it anymore. And then all that becomes obsolete. But you have to develop a relationship and a love for Jesus Christ. Modern Christianity wants to make us believe that this path is smooth a nice flat plateau as if we are currently walking on clouds. The sun is always shining. The birds are always singing. Yet David clearly states, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even on this path that God is leading us down, there will be darkness, there will be trials, there will be hardships. However, Scripture says that the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delights in his ways. He is leading you down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will light your path. For he is the Prince of Peace that passes all understanding. I want us all to stand in this place. You can come play something if you want. If not, it's okay. I understand sometimes as a music person, you don't really get to be a part of the altar call, but y'all can come if y'all'd like. I don't want this to sway anything. Please understand. I don't want this to come across as I'm trying to say that there's some divine order working. I'm not a prophet in that sense. I do not prophesy future. I don't do anything like that. But I want to share with this church two things. One was what brought me here tonight. My wife and I were on our way back from New Orleans going to see her grandparents in Bonham. And I looked on the map for a place. I drove all the way from New Orleans straight to Paris. About 7.5 hours of just going. I'm not a long driver. 2.5 hours is about my limit, and then I got to stop. But we drove, and we drove. We left at like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I looked on the map, and I was like, man, I need to find a good place to stop, and we can switch, and she can drive for a little bit. It's only about 30 minutes from here to Bonham. And so I was like, let's stop in Paris. I had never even been here before. I knew about the city. I know Brother Nick and Rhonda Smith and Trevor and Shay grew up with them in church. And Brother Daniel Lawrence was a youth pastor at a church that I helped out with during my Bible college days. And so I knew of Paris, but I'd never been here before. So we stopped here and we switched and everything, and we went on about our way. And then the next day, that evening, there was a discussion about applying for this church that my cousin, who was on the North Texas ministry team, and he was telling me about it. And he brought up Paris again, and I was like, man, that's twice in 2 days that I've heard the word Paris. That's crazy. And we went back to my in-law's house, and there I discovered, or I was reminded, that my wife's stepfather, Clay Studeman, received the gift of the Holy Ghost and was saved here at this church under the wonderful leadership of Pastor Meyer and Sister Meyer. And I was like, man, that is crazy. So I submitted my application, did all that, and I'm here tonight. And again, I'm not saying all that to sway you all. The reason why I brought that up is because the Lord was leading me on a path to come deliver this message to you all tonight. Whatever happens, happens. Even if it was just to deliver the word this morning and to deliver this word to you tonight, my soul is satisfied. I am content, and I always will be content with whatever God wants to do in my life. The second thing that happened. See, Jesus never made it seem like this path was just this perfect floating on the clouds, that you'll never have trials, that you'll never have storms. Matter of fact, there's an old song by the Crabs that says that he never promised that the cross would not get heavy, or the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on, and my Lord will show up, and guess what? He'll take you through the fire again. There was a day back in August. I cannot remember the exact day, but man, this is one of the hardest days of my life. the time my pastor was going through a storm, I was trying to support and stay strong for him, trying to do what I could to stay strong and support my church, but it seemed like everything I was doing was failing. Brother Rhodes, it seemed like drama that I thought was over with in my youth group that I was leading just poked its head back up. And I thought I prayed it out of us. I thought I taught us better than that. But here's that ugly drama popping its head back up. I thought that I had the music team finally rocking and rolling, and then everything just seemed to be falling apart. My wife and I, we have a great marriage. I love my wife. I say nobody's perfect, but she's perfect for me. And I, because of my dumb self, we just weren't seeing eye to eye on some things. We were struggling financially. I'm trying to be a good dad, trying to be a good father, trying to be a good husband, trying to be a good minister. And man, y'all know where I was at. It's just some days where it's just like, what in the world? I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm doing everything I can do. And I remember I pulled into the Walmart parking lot. And I was getting out to go into my bank that's in that Walmart to go get tithes and offering. Struggling financially, but hey, I know I gotta pay my tithes and offering because it could be worse. And as I get out of my car, at the time I was driving an 08 Toyota Corolla, probably 300,000 to 400,000 miles on it. And I get out of my car, and I remember the sun was shining in Beaumont. They have pigeons that walk and crows that fly. Like, everywhere you go, it's pigeons walking and crows flying. It's like, pigeons, y'all know y'all can fly too, right? But they're walking, crows are flying. And I remember it's handicap, two parking spaces, the cart rack, then I parked right here. I get out of my car, shut the door, lock it, beep, beep, and I'm walking. And they have side parking handicaps, so you have to parallel park in these two handicap spots. And there's a silver type of SUV parked in one of them, and a blue or bluish reddish tint truck in the other one. And I remember this day so clearly. I'm walking, and I try to keep my head up, but again, it was just one of those days where, as a man of God, I just felt the weight on me so much. I'm following God. I'm doing everything that you want me to do, God. I'm doing everything that I know to do. And it was just so hard. And as I'm walking, at the very brink of just going crazy and just snapping, I'm walking. And all of a sudden, and I looked down on the ground. Some little bird droppings right in front of me, fresh. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. I can kind of laugh about it now. I'm trying to laugh, but my I touched my hair that I had at the time. It was almost like Brother Rhodes. A little bit more nappy, though. I touched my hair. See my hand, and yep, that ignorant bird got me. I turned around, popped my trunk. I have an emergency kit and some extra clothes in there just in case something happens one day. I pull out that extra shirt. I get in the car, sit down, change my shirt, wipe the stuff off of me with the old shirt, put on the new shirt. And I just sat there in front of the steering wheel. Why, God? Why is this happening to me? What is going on? I just came to get my tithes and offerings. I'm just trying to be the man of God that you're leading me to be. I'm trying to be a good husband. I'm trying to be a good father, a good youth pastor, a good music director. I'm just trying to do right. And nothing is going right. And now this happens. And it doesn't make any sense. And I start to bang on the steering wheel. And I'm screaming, why, God? Why, God? Why, God? Why? I'm just sitting there crying, just throwing a little hissy fit. And this has only happened two other times in my life. It was as if I felt the arm of God reach around my shoulder. Just tap me on the shoulder and just pat me. Like, there, there. He lifted his arm off of me. And I could see this as my eyes was closed. And I felt it. He lifted his arm off of me. Kept walking. He looked at me. Said, come on. Because he was leading me down a path of righteousness. And though it felt, though the straw finally broke this camel's back, and the absolute dumbest, most randomest, worst thing happened to me on top of everything else I was going through, my shepherd still came to where I was at, patted me on the shoulder, let me know he was there, and then said, come on, you're not sitting there throwing this fit any longer. I've got a work for you to do. I've got people for you to minister to. I've got young people that need you. You've got a pastor that needs you. You've got a church that needs you. So even if tonight you feel like 2024, you were just in the valley of the shadow of death. And you think, I mean, it's the fifth day of 2025, and I can tell you, I forgot it's 2025. It still feels nothing bad, but it still feels like it's the same year to me. You know, and physically, spiritually, I'm on fire. And some of you spent maybe the last part of last year, or maybe the whole year, feeling like you were in the valley of the shadow of death. And you've gone into this year, and it feels like you're still in that valley. Can I remind you in this place? That is the main thing of my ministry. I just like to remind people what the Word of God says. That His name and His reputation is on the line if He leaves you where you're at. If He leaves you in your distress, if He leaves you in your suffering and in your pain, if He leaves you in your confusion and you're not understanding, then His reputation is ruined. But God is not in the business of letting you down, and He's most certainly not in the business of tarnishing His great name. He is leading you down paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So tonight, I open these altars up. I know it's a lot different from this morning, but I open these altars up for somebody who just feels like, God, if it gets any worse, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, if one more thing happens, if I lose one more person in my life, if I get one more financial bad news, if I get one more bad report from a doctor, if one more person hurts me, Lord, I don't know what is going to happen. for anybody in this room that is wondering, God, trying to do right, but it just feels like you are forsaking me. I want to remind you in this place that He has never left you and He never will. As they begin to sing, I invite you to come to this front and find a place at this altar. Find a place to pray and renew your faith in this place tonight. To know that He is leading you, to remind you that He is with you through whatever transitions you're going through whatever troubles that you're going through in your life. Come on, church, do I have anybody in this place who can be honest and say that, God, I've been struggling? I'm not talking about struggling with sin. I've just been struggling mentally and emotionally, Lord, and it feels like I'm gonna break. And it feels like, God, if I don't have that reassurance, that blessed assurance, God, one more time in my life, that I don't know what's going to happen. But you need to remind yourself in this place that He is your shepherd and that He has it all under control and that your cries have awakened the Master and that He sees exactly where you're at. And He is leading you down a path of righteousness. He is leading you down a path of peace. He is leading you down a path of restoration, of joy unspeakable, of something that you never knew was even possible. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you some people. It may cost you some things. But no great reward comes.
Oh,
disobeying the Holy Ghost, and I'm not sure how this process works, but if there's anyone in this room, you can keep playing. If there's anyone in this room who has not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, let me tell you, this path of righteousness, some of you have been thinking about it for a while. You might have even said, maybe 2025, I'm going to get baptized. But you know that with that come some things. With that comes some commitments. With that comes some lifestyle changes. With that comes some things that you got to, you know, get rid of. Some people you may have to get rid of. But if God is leading you, because in ourselves, this flesh right here, all this flubbery flesh right here, it don't want to get baptized. It don't want no more of the Holy Ghost. It didn't even want to be here tonight because it was negative 360 degrees outside. But I have to deny my flesh and die daily and commit myself and submit to the leading of the Spirit of God. And so I'm not saying that God said this person or that pointed anybody out or nothing like that. But for some of you, that path of righteousness begins with being baptized in the only saving name, and that is in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you are in this room, I challenge you, don't be afraid. He's leading you down this path. He is the good shepherd, and he's got you. So, Brother Dickey, I don't know who would be doing that, but if there's anyone in this room who can raise their hand, and again, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I'm just obeying God and pray that it's blessed and let God do the rest. But if anyone in this room wants to start this year off with being baptized in the name of Jesus and begin walking down that path of righteousness for his name's sake, we invite you. The water is ready. You can go get changed. Let Brother Rhodes or Brother Dickey know, I guess. Say, hey, I'm ready. I'm done running. I'm done wondering. I'm done stressing. Matter of fact, I understand that it's a salvational thing, but I don't know what's going to come next. But one thing I do know is that it begins right here, right now. I want y'all to sing that one more time. And I want everyone else to lift their hands and begin to pray. That God, whoever it is in this place, whether it be man or woman, whether it be multiple people, God, if you are speaking to them, God, I cast down the doubt that may be in their heart. I cast down the worry and the confusion that might be on them. And I pray that they walk down that path of righteousness that begins by going down in that water in the name of Jesus and coming out and being made new and being made refreshed and being made whole. And that they begin their path of righteousness tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, don't worry. Don't fret. God has got you. God is with you. We are going to rejoice with you. And this church is going to help you on that path. You are not alone. For God is with you. And the United Pentecostal Church of Paris is with you as well. Come on, don't hold back any longer. Why not now? Why not today? What prevented you from being brought down in the water? What is stopping you from surrendering it all to Jesus in this place tonight? Oh, your spirit. So I will. It's your spirit. My victory. young man that is getting baptized tonight in the name of Jesus. Brother Corbin has decided to begin his path. Man, God is good. Church, God is so good. His mercy endures forever. I hope I was able to help somebody tonight, because it's so crazy to me. Scripture says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging of bread. And it's crazy because you feel forsaken at times, right? It feels like, my goodness, God, like me. I mean, now, right now, I can laugh about it. When I was telling the story, y'all were laughing. I was crying on the inside. But that bird situation, I want to go bird hunting now. Duck hunting. I'll kill every duck. Even if it wasn't a duck that did that to me, they're in the bird family, so they're going to get it. But I was so angry. And I wasn't angry at God, right? Some of us sometimes get angry at God, and that happens. I wasn't angry at God. I was just angry at, like, life going on right now. What in the world? But like I said, that's only happened to me two other times where I literally felt the arm of God reach around me. And see, to some of y'all, he might sit there and boo-hoo with you for a little while. Some of y'all, he might speak to you, thus saith the I of the Lord your God. When God speaks to me, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I don't know if it's maybe because of how I was upraised and being a football player and all this other stuff. But when God speaks to me, it's more of a like, hey, man, straighten that up. Hey, man, stop doing that. Hey, get up. Let's go. You ain't got time for all this. I've got a work for you to do. And in the moment, I'm like, God, what? It's kind of insensitive. Did you not see a bird just? You created the birds. Did you create that specific bird to do that? Because, you know, our steps are ordered. So if I would have maybe stepped to the right or stepped to the left, but no, I was following the steps of God. That craziness happens. I'm serious about this duck hunting thing now I think about it. I'll kill every bird I see. Don't tell PETA on me now. But your steps are ordered. And one often misquoted verse, and I'm just giving them time to come out, but one often misquoted verse is, God is working all things for your good. But Scripture actually says God is working all things for your good to them who love him, who are chosen by God, and who are serving his purpose. So just because good things are happening to you, that don't mean it was God. Just because bad things are happening to you doesn't mean that God's not in it. But even that mess that you're in, all the stuff that you've been through, all the trials and struggles that you've had in your life, right now it does not seem like it's worth anything. Right now, you're just like, God, get me out of this right now. But there's something that's going on in all of this mess. And if you can set your eyes upon the hill from where your help cometh from, you will see that your shepherd is still leading you. You might be a little far off saying, hey, come on. I've cleared the path. I've made the way. But he is with you. Come on, can we give a hand to Brother Corbin right now?
Corbin Joseph Liggins is somebody that, if you're anything like me, you have been blessed by his worship. His sincere heart, if you have any conversation with him, it will take half a second for you to start having the best day that you've had in a long time. And we've been blessed for him to start attending our youth services, to begin to start going to our main services, and to just be a blessing in our youth group, right, and those around, and making a difference at North Lamar High School on the football team, making a difference in the hallways. And right now, he's made the decision that I know where I was and I know where I am, but I'm starting to see where I can be. And so, Corbin Joseph Liggins, in obedience to the word of God, I will now baptize you in the only name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, the saving name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins.
Come on, one brother.